Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Good evening, this is Jay Jackson. From the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a remarkable story. A story of two people who found a treasure. It was a curious treasure. Money couldn't buy it, and a man couldn't spend it. It glittered in the desert sand like new gold. And Sally Lippincott knew she would never find it anywhere else in the world. You'll hear Sally, played by a talented young actress who recently came from radio's own ranks, and is today one of Hollywood's busiest and newest stars, Anne Rutherford. Welcome to our Hallmark show, Anne. This is a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Jay. You're practically bubbling over tonight. Why so happy?
Well, Anne, you're here. And I just received a phone call from Wide Ruins, Arizona.
Why, that's where tonight's story takes place. Who was it that called?
The folks who are still living the story, Sally and Bill Lippincott. They wanted us to know that they are listening, along with Jimmy.
The little Navajo boy.
Right, Anne. We'll get to know them all very well before we leave the air tonight. There's something else we want you to know tonight, Anne. It concerns greeting cards.
Oh, you mean how to make sure of getting the finest greeting cards.
That's right.
I know the answer to that. Just turn the card over and look on the back for those three words, a Hallmark card.
Good for you, Anne. Those are the three words that tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the dry desert wind is blowing across our scene. A little Navajo boy is waiting with the wisdom and patience of his race, and you're about to live a true adventure you will never forget. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition, a dramatization of that wonderful story of real life, Spin the Silver Dollar, starring Anne Rutherford.
Wide Ruins. My husband Bill and I were going to Wide Ruins, Arizona. Oh, I was so upset. Here, Bill was the best newspaper man in the East with a chance to become a foreign correspondent. But his family owned an Indian trading post that had to be operated until we could find a buyer for it. So Bill threw up his good job and drove out to Wide Ruins. When we got there, I realized it was well named. The desert all around was wide, and the trading post was a ruin.
Well, looks like quite a place. Well, let's go in and look it over, dear.
Hugo, I don't want to fall through the floor.
Oh, you won't fall through the floor. I've checked on everything. Nothing wrong with this good old trading post that a fresh coat of paint can't fix.
Nothing?
Well, nothing except the roof.
Uh-huh. It leaks?
Well, only...
Oh, I know. Only when it rains.
Yeah, well, come on, let's go in and set up housekeeping.
Wide ruins. Here, take this bag. When I think about my nice little apartment back in... Oh, Bill.
What?
Look, we've got company.
Company? What? Oh, hello.
Hello.
How do you do? We're Mr. and Mrs. Lippincott. We've come to take over this trading post.
Hello. Do you live near here?
Yes.
Oh, that's fine. Then I hope we'll be doing business together.
Yes. Me, Joe Toddy. Me come do business with you.
Sally, our first customer.
No. You my customer.
Huh?
Me come fix roof.
Introduction to life among the Navajos. They were curiously calm people, and since we had come fresh from the urgency of newspaper life in the city, we found the calmness most unnerving at first.
Me pay. next week.
Well, that's all right. What's your name? I said, tell me your name so that I can charge this flower to you.
Sally, you never ask a Navajo his name directly.
No?
No, no. They don't like that. They won't answer you.
Oh, well, then I'll have to get this man's name from one of his friends.
Oh, no, no, no. They don't like that either.
But I have to keep my book straight. How am I going to find out his name?
Like this. Sally, this customer's name is Little Brother White Cloud.
You're wrong. My name, Sushi Begay.
Write it down, Sally.
Me, weave rug. You want buy?
Well, we buy rugs. Let's unroll it and see. There. Oh, there's lettering on it.
It say, hello.
But where's the O?
No room for O.
We learned the custom of the Navajos and marvelous little facts about them. Did you know that if you offer a cigarette to an Indian, you must offer it upright because he's antagonized by any gesture that seems to point at him? But of course, the most important thing we learned was that they derived their whole nature, their philosophy, even their complexion from the desert around them. It's woven into their rugs and it runs through all their speech. I guess that little Jimmy was the one who finally made me realize this. Little Jimmy first came to the trading post with Joe Toddy, his father.
Me come fix roof now.
Well, I should think you would, Joe. You've left us without a roof for almost a week.
Only rain 2 times.
Bill?
Huh?
Who left these drawings on the front stairs?
Drawings? I don't know, Sally.
Oh, those Jimmies.
Jimmies?
Jimmy, my boy. There he is.
Where? Oh, there in the doorway. Well, hello, little boy. Oh, he ran away.
Yep. Him never stay.
And he drew these pictures? Oh, they're wonderful. Look, Bill, see those trees.
Hey, those are magnificent. Joe, how old is your boy?
Him 8.
Did he ever try painting?
No.
Say, Bill, we have a paint set in stock and some paper for watercolors.
Well, let's give it to the boy.
Now, here are the prints. Oh, there are the paints right there, and here's a nice brush.
Uh-huh, and here's the paper.
Fine. Joe, will you give these to Jimmy for us?
Yes. Thank you. I go give him now. Me fix roof other time.
Sally! Where are you, Sally?
Oh, I'm not sure, Bill, but I think it's me under these bites. Ooh.
That's what I wanted to talk about, Sally. Something's got to be done.
Well, we've sent for the insecticide.
Yes, I know, and we've waited 3 weeks. The postal service here is as slow as Joe Toddy.
So?
So I'm going to make an insecticide of my own.
Oh, no, you're not.
Sally, I've got to. Look, we've got a chance to sell Wide Ruins. A fellow named Crawford called from Tucson just now. He's coming to look the place over tomorrow.
Bill, that's wonderful.
Well, sure it is, but he'll never buy the place if he gets eaten alive while he's inspecting it. He's an Easterner. Says he wants peace.
Well, there's no more peaceful place than... Oh.
What's the matter?
Why, I never realized until I said it how peaceful Wide Ruins is.
Yeah. Yes, it is peaceful. Yeah, well, that's neither here nor there. We've got to get rid of these insects before Crawford gets here. I'm going to make insecticide right now. Now, pour in just a little more from that bottle, Sally.
How long do you have to stir that mess before it becomes insecticide?
If it becomes insecticide.
If it becomes insecticide.
I don't know. Maybe forever.
It was a strange explosion. It went almost directly upward. I got a little burn on my wrist, and poor Bill got a larger one on his cheek. But nothing in the room was damaged. Oh, we were lucky. Well, lucky, yes, except for 3 things. A, the explosion literally raised Joe Toddy's new roof. And B, when Mr. Crawford saw the roofless trading post the next day, he turned right around and went back to Tucson. And C, Joe Toddy refused to repair the roof this time.
Me no go near trading post.
But why not, Joe?
Big blow-up. Evil spirits mad at your house.
Oh, that's foolish, Joe.
Maybe foolish, but you see how foolish when no Indian go to trading post. Indian no anger evil spirits. Indian no do business with you. But Indian sorry if you starve.
We'll continue with the second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented to you by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. First, however, a little story with a lot of meaning. One day in one of the London coffee houses that served as meeting places for the famous during the past century, a group of men were gathered in friendly discussion. They were literary men talking shop. Suddenly, one of the men turned to another and asked, "How is it you manage to round off such perfect expressions with such unpremeditated ease?" The older man puffed on his pipe for a few seconds and slowly began to quote, "Sunset and evening star and one clear call for me." He paused and then continued, "Unpremeditated? It took me 20 pipefuls of tobacco to write this single phrase." Thus, with the opening quotation from his immortal poem, Crossing the Bar, did Alfred Lord Tennyson reveal the reason for his greatness. The folks who make Hallmark cards know, too, how much care and thought must go into even the simplest greeting card. For they know greeting cards must express the warmth and understanding, the gaiety or wit that makes them fit perfectly into any occasion. That's why the makers of Hallmark cards are always particular to remember they're not making just cards. They're making Hallmark cards. Cards that say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. So, it's a good idea to look on the back of the cards you intend to send. Look for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words that tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now our program continues with Act Two of Spin the Silver Dollar, starring Ann Rutherford.
A pretty problem that no grocer I ever heard of had to face. What do you do when you're going rapidly into bankruptcy because your customers think the evil spirits have an evil eye on your store? Bill and I called in the medicine man. Oh, Lukai Chukai, his name was. A wrinkled old man with humorous eyes.
Anazazis angry with you.
Anazazis?
Anazazis, evil spirits.
Well, what do we do to make them smile again?
You take rug from counter, spread on floor.
Oh, all right. Right here?
That do. No, here. Here are charms. You hold one.
Okay.
You hold one.
Thank you. Oh, they're petrified wood, aren't they?
Yes. Now, we kneel on rug. Now. Oto ye ya wood, ye quit a pima, ye met a ya oak, ye ke uwaima, pa u imura, ura ki uyo, uganye nati, wayim to work it. Huyum. Now, let me sprinkle sacred corn pollen on your hand. Throw it high to the gods.
Is that the end of the ceremony?
That end. We rise now.
Are the Anazazis gone?
Anazazis never go. But they not angry any longer.
I want to thank you very much.
And I want to tell you how impressive the ceremony was.
Now I return to my organ. The Anazazis will no longer trouble you. And my people will be pleased to come once more to your store.
That was our introduction to Navajo ceremonies. We were to take part in many other ceremonies while we were at Wide Ruins. The most interesting, to me at any rate, because I'm a woman, was one that I learned about through Jimmy. You see, all this time, Jimmy kept coming to the trading post. And after he had silently handed me another picture, he never stayed longer than one shy second, and he never spoke. Not with his tongue, but with his pictures he was eloquent. In beautiful pastels, he pictured the desert and the animals in which he seemed most interested, but never a human being. Until one day, the picture that he left, a young girl before an Indian hogan, lying on a mat with her head toward the east. Underneath, he had scrawled, "My sister, Mary." I was interested, so I went to see his sister.
Hello.
Hello. You're Jimmy's sister, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm very happy to meet you, Mary.
Thank you.
Jimmy painted a picture of you.
I'm glad.
Would you like to see it?
Thank you. Oh,
it's a very good picture. As good as many in our art galleries at home.
It's beautiful.
But, you see, it made me wonder, and that's why I came to see you. Do you always sleep outside the hogan?
Oh, no. This part of ceremony of becoming into womanhood.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
It's ceremony our people hold for every young girl at time of coming into womanhood. It is held in hope that girl may become all that woman can be.
A bearer of children?
Yes, but more than that, our people believe that woman is the way her eyes look out of her mind.
Oh, Mary, that's a very beautiful idea, and a true one.
Please, I am to become woman. You are a woman. What is it like?
Well, that's not easy to say, Mary. Some people might say that to be a woman is to be sad, because all the men do the strutting and the big work, like building and planting and harvesting and making money. But, I don't know, I always remember that women do the little work, the comforting, the teaching, and the singing. I'm not sad because I'm a woman, Mary. I'm joyous, because to be a woman means to give life and to love life, to give strength and to draw strength from the giving.
Thank you. I wanted to know. That is the way I want to feel about being a woman. Will you come to my ceremony?
Ceremony marking Mary's coming into womanhood. Before dawn, Mary ran the traditional race with the east wind, running a mile and a half to a designated spot and then home again, where for 3 days she was set to grinding corn for the ceremonial bread. Night, she lay outside the hogan on a pile of skins and blankets, her head toward the east. And throughout the ceremony, old Lukai Chukai led the chanting. The medicine man was the center of the ceremony, but Mary was its spirit. Mary, who came through it with a straight back and almond eyes and a clear, dark skin, like a warm young animal, yet lovely and untouchable too. Mary was a woman now. The most humorous, and yet the most touching occurrence that ran through our lives at the trading post was the daily coming and going of young Jimmy. He would always leave a picture he had painted, but he never talked. We literally never heard his voice. Oh, we kept his pictures. And finally, we sold a few of the best of them. And when he came the next day...
Jimmy, we've sold some of your pictures.
Some man in the city paid money for your pictures, Jimmy.
Now, try again, Sally.
We will have a great deal of money for you in a few days, Jimmy.
I suppose he ran home to tell them the good news.
I'm going to hear his voice, Bill.
I doubt that, Sally.
No, you watch. When we give him the money, I'm going to tell him he can buy anything in the whole store.
Oh?
Now, he'll have to tell us what he wants. You wait. Wait until the money comes. He'll have to speak. Well, Jimmy, I have good news for you. Your money came.
Aren't you glad, Jimmy? Yeah, well, I'll bet you are, anyhow.
Look, Jimmy, you can buy anything you want in this entire store. What would you like?
No, it won't do you any good to point. You'll have to tell us what you want.
All right, now give him time, Bill.
Okay.
That's it, Jimmy. Go ahead, look everything over. See anything you like?
Hey, you can't take it. You've got to ask for it.
Jimmy, come back. Oh, come on, Jimmy. Come back. Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. You don't have to talk if you don't want to. Oh, I'm sorry we treated you this way. Here. It was this water pistol you wanted, wasn't it? Here it is.
Well, he doesn't even say thank you.
He feels thank you, don't you, Jimmy? You know, Jimmy, my husband and I want you to talk, well, just because we like you so much. And we'd like to hear the sound of your voice. Maybe there's something you could say to my husband. Sort of one man to another. Well, maybe there's something you'd like to say to me.
Me.
Yes?
Me love you.
And so it went, day after day. There was a charm in our life at Wide Ruins, and there was a pulse about the place, as there is everywhere. Only at Wide Ruins, the pulse beat was slow and steady and strong. Bill and I almost forgot that we were there to sell the trading posts. But then one day, the door opened.
Well, Bill and Sally Lippincott.
Joe Baxter.
That's right.
Well.
This is Ed Roberts.
How do you do?
I've been on vacation. I've come 100 miles out of my way to bring you two people back to New York. Bill, that job in Europe you wanted is yours.
Oh, Joe, we'd love to go, but we can't.
Nonsense. You're here because the post couldn't be sold, aren't you? Well, I brought a buyer with me.
What?
It's a fact. What do you say, Ed?
Well, I'm not sure yet, but this certainly looks like what I want.
Ed wants to get away from it all.
Oh, well, then you'll like it here, Mr. Roberts.
Oh, yes. This is the place for you, then. Have you ever watched a desert sunset?
No. You'll have to learn the ways of the Indians. You'll have to let them teach you.
Oh, yes. You'll start out by being patient with them, being patronizing. But they just stare at you like, well, like wooden Indians. And finally, you find yourself feeling small and cheap and over-civilized.
Uh-huh. And then you begin to see things the way they see them. It's wonderful.
Well, it sounds wonderful.
Well, looks like we're all going to get what we want. Now, Ed, you get right down to business, make out a check. Then I'm going to carry Sally and Bill back to New York with me. And boy, are you going to make up for lost time. London first, Bill. Then Berlin. Couldn't ask for a bigger store to handle. Well, what's the matter, Bill?
Sally.
Yeah?
Are you thinking the same thing I am?
I certainly am.
I'm sorry, Mr. Roberts, but Wide Ruins is not for sale.
It was just a feeling we had. Bill and I couldn't quite explain why we had suddenly decided to stay at Wide Ruins. It had something to do with the desert, with all the stuff of the desert that went into little Jimmy's paintings, or the Navajo woman's rugs. And it had something to do with a peacefulness that we had found out here among the Navajos. That peacefulness came from a philosophy that we had absorbed from the Indians. A philosophy of calmness and bravery and deep wisdom. And so we're here at Wide Ruins now. And here we'll stay among our friends and our teachers, the Indians of the desert, who are themselves like the desert, quiet and constant and deep and natural and American.
Wonderful Ann Rutherford, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Ann Rutherford will return in just a moment. Say, isn't there some little friend of yours whom you'd like to give a ride on the magic carpet straight to the end of make-believe? I'm sure there is. Well, here's the way to do it. Tomorrow, go into one of those fine stores that carry Hallmark cards. Ask to see the Hallmark dolls, those fascinating, colorful greeting cards that are dolls. You'll see Red Riding Hood, the Queen of Hearts, Cinderella, and many more. Each one is a card with a sprightly story verse on the inside. And each one stands by itself, just like any other fine doll. Send one of these gay gifts to a little friend you like especially well. And best of all, you can make that child simply bubble with joy for only 25 cents. See the Hallmark dolls tomorrow at your friendly Hallmark dealers. And now, once again, here's Ann Rutherford. Thank you, Ann, for a delightful performance.
I love playing the part, Jay. And I hope Sally, Bill, and Jimmy liked the show.
I'm sure they did, Ann. You know, we hope to have them here on the program with us tonight, but they're so busy at Wide Ruins, they couldn't get away.
I don't wonder. Sally and Bill, out on your desert tonight, thank you for sharing your story, your trading post, and your fine Navajo friends with us. It's been a wonderful experience.
Well, that goes for all of us, Anne.
While we're sharing, Jay, how about letting us in on next week's Hallmark show?
Sure will. We've got a thriller next week.
A true story?
Right out of the Department of Justice records, about the cleverest ring of counterfeiters who ever went to work on Uncle Sam's greenback.
Goodness, you frighten me. Who's the hero?
A fellow named Chandler in the story. Offstage, his name is Franchotone.
Franchotone? I'll be with you.
Then put down the date. Next Thursday, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a dramatic, action-packed true story right out of life entitled The American Master Counterfeiters, and starring Franchotone. Ann Rutherford will soon be seen in Warner Brothers' production of The Adventures of Don Juan, starring Errol Flynn. In tonight's story, Ann Rutherford was supported by Clayton Collier in the role of Bill. Spin a Silver Dollar was dramatized by Robert Sanadella. It is a true story based on a book of the same title by Alberta Hannam, as condensed in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Hallmark cards are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. Now, this is Jay Jackson saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time, when our story will be The American Master Counterfeiters, starring Franchotone. Other stars soon to appear on your Hallmark program include Ralph Bellamy, Anne Blythe, and Raymond Massey.
This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is KMBC.